So if you were here last week, you'll know we were in the book of Job, and Gareth was talking about the spirit that gives us wisdom, and the passage said that the breath of the Almighty gives them understanding. Well, we're remaining in the book of Job this evening, and we're reading from chapter 33, and again it's Elihu, one of the comforters, that's speaking, and again he's speaking about the breath of the Almighty. But this time it's not wisdom that he's talking about, but life. So we're just reading six verses tonight. We're in Job, it's chapter 33, verses 1 to 6. But now, Job, listen to my words. Pay attention to everything I say. I'm about to open my mouth. My words are on the tip of my tongue. My words come from an upright heart. My lips sincerely speak what I know. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Answer me then if you can. Prepare yourself and confront me. I am just like you before God. I too have been taken from clay. And so the verse I want us to focus on tonight is verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me. The breath of the Almighty gives me life. Now, my eldest daughter, Grace, is playing the piano at the moment, and the piece that she's learning, oh, can you put the slides up, please, Steve? Thanks. The piece that she's learning at the moment is Elton John's I'm Still Standing. That's what we've had blaring out all summer in our house, and there's been a certain sense of irony to that. As for most of you know, I broke a bone in my back at the beginning of the summer, and I haven't done much standing. I've done a lot of lying on my side on the sofa. So to declare I'm still standing has been a bit sort of wishful thinking on my part. This summer has been quite a sort of walk through the valley for me, really. This is my second major injury this year, and I think I've spent more time on crutches than I've spent off crutches. So to declare I'm still standing has actually been quite a challenge for me. And yet, here I am, standing in front of you tonight. Well, how? I can truly say it's not through any strength of my own. It's entirely because of the power of Christ and because of the power given through the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us life, and it's the Holy Spirit that brings us to life. When we're weak, when we've reached the end of our human abilities, when we feel trapped or lost or abandoned and we feel that life is really tough and all we want to do is lie on the sofa, the Holy Spirit restores us. The Holy Spirit brings us back to life and he takes us out of that valley and starts us upon that climb back up the mountain again where we can stand before God. We know that we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit when we believe in Jesus and that we're promised eternal life. But amazingly, God doesn't just stop there. God isn't content just to leave it at that. He wants to bring us to life. He wants us to have a life that's overflowing, a life that's abundant, a life that's exciting and full and vibrant. He doesn't want us to have lives that are like a black and white silent movie that appear dull in our modern age of technology. He wants us to have lives that are like a full colour, high definition, surround sound, 4D movie. He wants us to have these amazing lives because the Bible tells us that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no human mind's conceived what God's got in store for those who love him. And so tonight we're thinking about how the Holy Spirit brings us to life, and we're thinking about why, for what purpose does the Spirit bring us to life? So how does the Holy Spirit bring us to life? Well, the Holy Spirit's always wanting to birth new things because he's a creator spirit. He was there when the earth was formed. He was hovering over the waters, ready to breathe life into the world. His very nature is to create life, to give life, to bring life. The Hebrew word that we've talked about before for the Holy Spirit is ruach. It translates as breath. The Holy Spirit is God's breath. And that same creative spirit that breathed life into the world is breathing life into you and me. He lives within us and he's made you his home. The Holy Spirit can also restore us back to life, such as the extent of his power. When we lack vitality, the Holy Spirit gives us renewed energy. When we're weak, he gives us strength. When we're consumed with worry, he gives us peace. When we feel that we're a prisoner to guilt and shame, he brings freedom. When we're blinded by this world and we're dragged down by everything that we see on the TV and the news, he brings us wisdom and a vision of hope for our future. The Holy Spirit frees us from all that holds us back in our lives and seeks to drag us down. He gives us a life of joy and peace, a life of shalom, a life filled with peace and security that can only come from knowing we're loved by a powerful and awesome God. Another way that the Holy Spirit brings us to life is to give us gifts and equip us for a purpose. When we feel ill-equipped to handle situations on our own, the Holy Spirit gives us all we need and can transform us. We've seen in previous weeks how the Holy Spirit equipped people like Gideon and Samson and David. Only with the power of the Holy Spirit at work in them were they able to accomplish incredible things for God's glory. And that same Spirit is the Spirit at work in you and me and can equip us for incredible things. One verse from the Bible that's been my strength recently is Romans 8, verse 11. And it talks about how the same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that is at work in you and me. And that power is God's Spirit. He was able to raise Christ from the dead. He's able to bring life back to our tired and weary souls. I love how the Message translation puts that verse. It says, "It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you're delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ." Doesn't that excite you? Doesn't it just fill you with joy and wonder? Doesn't it make you want to cry out in praise that that powerful, life-giving Spirit is within you, wanting to do incredible things in you? Well, how do we know that the Spirit is moving in our lives? Well, he fills you with his fruits. He gives us love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And as these grow in increasing measure, we see less of our human inclination at work in our lives and more of the Spirit's power. And we can be more like Jesus to those we encounter. And we also find that increasingly, as we allow the Holy Spirit room to operate in our lives, we discover freedom unlike anything we've ever experienced before. Freedom from sin, freedom from worry, freedom from doubt, freedom from fear. Freedom from anything that would hold us back. I love that the Holy Spirit frees us from the lies that the devil would tell us about ourselves. When the devil tells us, you're hopeless, you're useless, you're not good enough, someone's better than you, the Holy Spirit speaks words of truth into our lives. We hear, you're alive in Christ. You're greatly loved by God. You can do all things through Christ. You are made by God, created in Christ to do good works for him. You are more than a conqueror through him who loves you. So, how does the Holy Spirit bring us life? Well, by moving into our lives, by filling us, by equipping us, by giving us peace, by filling us with truth and life-giving words. But why? Why does the Holy Spirit bring us to life? For what purpose? Do you know, I'm always amazed that God chooses to use me in his plans. I often think it would be so much easier and better if God just went and did it on his own, left me out of it, because I always think I just make a mess of things. But God chooses to use me. He chooses to use all of us. He chooses to partner with us. He includes us in his plans and in his mission. And one of the big reasons is it's for the sake of the world. God wants to work with you to reach others that don't yet know his love. The Holy Spirit's come to mold our hearts so they will break for what breaks God's heart. Our natural inclinations are to think self-centeredly, but the Holy Spirit wants us to think about others. We think of ourselves, God thinks of others. So something has to take place within us to shift our thinking and bring it in line with God's thinking. And that's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit puts that love within us and he softens our hearts. You might have heard of a lady called Jackie Pullinger. Jackie's an incredible person. At 21, she went to the walled city of Hong Kong, an area of about 60,000 people, living in an area where there's no law, where prostitution was rife, where gangs operated freely, where drugs were bought and sold all the time. And she went there as a young woman on her own, aged just 21 years old. And she started to minister in this incredibly dangerous place. And she has seen so many people giving their lives to Christ, having experienced Jesus' love for themselves. Well, Jackie said this, God wants us to have soft hearts and hard feet. The trouble with most of us is that we've got hard hearts and soft feet. By soft heart, she meant a heart of compassion, a heart of love. And by hard feet, she meant feet that were willing to go anywhere. And she's demonstrated that in her life. She's got this extraordinary compassion for the lost. She's got a soft heart, but she's tough. She'll go anywhere. She'll do anything. She'll follow the Spirit's prompting in order that societies are changed. Will you allow the Holy Spirit to soften your heart and harden your feet? He might not lead you to Hong Kong. He might just lead you across the road to your neighbour. He might lead you to the co-op next Saturday morning to speak to someone who's doing their shopping. He might lead you into church to talk to someone who's coming to the cafe. But are you ready to just go where the Holy Spirit will lead you? You know, sometimes our hearts can become like a dry sponge. You know, one of those real sponges that when you put it in water, it's so hard and crusty that it still can't actually absorb any water. And sometimes we're just so worn out, so weary, so disillusioned that we just feel so dried up. But when you leave that sponge in the water for long enough, gradually the edges soften and it starts to absorb the water. And gradually it soaks up so much that when you pull it out of the water, water is just flowing and pouring out of it. And that's what we need to do. We need to soak in the Holy Spirit so that our hearts start to soften and so that we can just soak up all he's got for us and then we can just have it overflow to those that we meet. Now, another reason that the Spirit brings us to life is for God's glory. It's not to make us look great. It's so that we can point others to God and give the glory back to him. God's glorified when we live lives that honour him. He's glorified when our words and our actions match up with the teachings of the Bible. You might have heard something said before that the face of Jesus that your friends and family see is your face. They don't see the Jesus that's depicted in pictures of a bearded man in sandals and a long robe. They see Jesus in you. The Holy Spirit brings us to life so that we can be a reflection of Jesus and give glory to God. Have you ever seen someone so full of the Holy Spirit that when you look at them, you don't actually see that person? You see Jesus just shining out of them? I've seen people in this church like that. Just ordinary people, but people just so consumed with their love and passion for Jesus that when you look at them, you don't see that person. You just see love pouring out of them. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Just fill us so that we radiate Jesus' love and we point them to God. Can you imagine what a difference our world would be like if we were all like that all day, every day? And then the Holy Spirit also brings us to life so that we can carry on the work that Jesus began on earth.
And that's what a group of us were doing in the village yesterday morning. We decided to go and stand out in the pouring rain outside the co-op, offering drinks to anyone that would stop and talk to us, picking up litter, listening to people, and just being a presence in our community. We were trying to live like Jesus, and we were trying to reach out with hope and love. Well, I have to confess that when I woke up on Saturday morning, that isn't exactly what I was thinking. It was more, oh no, it's raining, do I really have to go? And the kids were going, Mummy, can you do homework with us? Can we do piano practice? And the house was a bit of a tip because we'd all gone back to work and housework had built up. But I thought, no, I said I'll be there, I'll go. And as we prayed, the Holy Spirit just filled us. The Holy Spirit went ahead of us. And there was just this incredible atmosphere, just this incredible buzz. And do you know what? When I got home, although I was dripping wet and the kids were all laughing at how bad my hair was, I was buzzing. I was so excited. And do you know, it wasn't hard because the Spirit equipped us. I said to Bert before I went, I said, I need a kind of like an opening sentence, or I need something so that I know how I'm going to talk to people. And you know, the Spirit just equipped us. He said, good morning, can I offer you a cup of coffee? And if they said no, I went, that's fine, can I give you a voucher for our cafe? And told them where we were. And if they said yes, I said, come this way, get you a drink and start chatting. It was as simple as that. And I had so many conversations. I spoke to a lady whose husband is disabled and has developing dementia. I spoke to two young mums, both struggling with the joys and challenges of raising toddlers. I spoke to a lady who said she's so lonely she never leaves the house apart from to come shopping because she doesn't know where to go. I prayed with a lady whose son-in-law is just about to start chemotherapy. And I spoke with a dad who's trying to find a church that's got a lively program of youth activities for his 12-year-old. It was God just kept bringing people to us that we could have conversations with. And I could tell them about toddler group, about the youth work, about sycamores, about live at home scheme. I could tell people that our cafe has got disabled access and we've got disabled toilets. And it was just overwhelming how many conversations we had. But above all, we were just able to say, you are welcome. You are accepted here. We would love to see you again. We were able to just bring some light into those people's lives. We were able to start building relationships. And so I just encourage you, give it a go. If you've got a free Saturday morning, we're out for the next three in September and then every fifth Saturday beyond that. Just come and see what the Holy Spirit will do. But, you know, we're not meant to do this work alone. We need to work with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we need the Holy Spirit to unite us. I read a letter that one church leader received, and it amused me, so I thought I was going to share it with you tonight. It says, Dear Vicar, there are 566 people in our church. 100 are frail and elderly, so that leaves 466 to do all the work. But 80 are young people, at school or at college, so that leaves 386 to do all the work. But 150 of these are tired business people, so that leaves 236 to do all the work. 150 of these are busy with children, so that leaves 86 to do all the work. But 15 live too far away to come regularly, so that leaves 71 to do all the work. Well, 69 of those say they've done their bit for the church already, so that leaves you and me. But I'm exhausted, so good luck to you. We can't be like that. We can't do it on our own. We can't leave it to one person to do. The Holy Spirit fills us, unites us, and brings us together to work as a team, to be used by God for his glory. He helps us accept each other's differences, to celebrate each other's gifts, and see beyond things that would separate us normally, but bring us together for his glory. When we live abundant, overflowing lives, we also find that the Spirit gives us the ability and the courage to speak words of truth and life boldly wherever we go. That's what was happening in that passage when Elihu was speaking to Job. The Spirit of God placed the words that Elihu needed to speak on the tip of his tongue. And because he was full of the Spirit, he was then able to speak out to Job. Scripture tells us that we've not been given a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love. In our own strength, we might find it impossible to have those conversations, but when the Spirit fills us, it just becomes natural and easy. We can do amazing and exciting things. And then there's one more reason that I want us to look at. It's that the Spirit brings us to life to free us in our worship. That doesn't mean you're suddenly going to lift your arms, run to the flags, grab them and start waving them around. Instead, I mean the Holy Spirit brings us to a place where we acknowledge who we are before God. We acknowledge how great God is, who he is, where we are, and that we need forgiveness. And that we find that forgiveness in him and we're set free. Worship is allowing God to take centre stage in our lives wherever we are. Freedom in worship is not when you overcome your inhibitions. It's when you allow God to overcome you. It's not when you overcome your inhibitions. It's when you allow God to overcome you. And when God overcomes you, you'll be free to lift your hands or not. You'll be free to stand up or not move a muscle. You'll be free to fall on the floor or remain where you are. Freedom in worship is just when you see God and nothing else. And it's that Spirit that just releases us and frees us in our worship. And so to draw to a close, the Holy Spirit gives us life and brings us to life for many reasons and purposes. And I'm sure these are just a few of them. And you can probably think of more and you've probably experienced more. The Holy Spirit is God's precious gift to us. Our lives are transformed and changed in the most unimaginable ways when we allow the Holy Spirit to move within us. Remember, it's that same power that raised Christ from the dead that's at work in you and in me. But it's not anything to be afraid of. It's something to be excited by. The Holy Spirit won't push you to do anything that he doesn't equip you to do. He won't do anything that's contrary to Scripture. And he waits for your permission to act. So are you ready to give permission? Are you ready to surrender and say, "Bring me to life"?